Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have, Lord have, Lord have mercy. We all know it in Syriac language also. What is the translation of Lord of Mercy in Greek? Marnoi. Kurielaison, right? Usually in our Malayalam worship service, we chant Kurielaison, Kurielaison, Kurielaison. What is the meaning? Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Is there any biblical background for this Kurielaison? Or we are simply chanting it? Can anyone say one biblical passage which is referring to the particular word, Lord have mercy? ധൈര്യമായിട്ട് പറഞ്ഞോ, മലയാളത്തിലാണെങ്കിലും കുഴപ്പമില്ല. എനി സൺഡേ സ്കൂൾ സ്റ്റുഡൻസ്, can you say one biblical portion which refers Lord have mercy? Sunday school children, where are you all? You all are here, no? Can you say? ദൈവമേ എന്നോട് കരുണയുണ്ടാകണമേ എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞു. പിന്നെ വേറൊരു കർത്ത. ഓക്കെ, ഗുഡ്. ആ ആര്? ബർത്തിമായി പറഞ്ഞു അല്ലേ. ആദ്യമായിട്ട് നമ്മളിത്, സോറി, ദ റൂട്ട് ഓഫ് ദ വേർഡ് The Lord have mercy, which we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verses 34 in the Old Testament. There we see, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures for ever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures for ever. And in New Testament we see in different parts, we see in Matthew 15:22, the Canaanite woman cries that, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. Again in Matthew chapter 20 verse 30 and 31, the blind man called Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And in Mark chapter 10 verse 46, the Bartimai cries out that, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. In Luke chapter 18 and 38 and Matthew 9:27, the phrase is written there that Lord have mercy. So in early Greek language, when the liturgy was formed, this Kurielaison has included in that, or the meaning, Lord have mercy. I think in all our service, especially 3 or 4 times we chant, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, in three positions. We have to, what we are doing that time, or what should come in our mind, what is the thought should come in our mind? Lord, I am a sinner. Mercy on me. I am a sinner. Mercy on me, because your mercy endures for ever. Because your mercy endures for ever. For today's meditation, the church has chosen the theme, Sabbath, leading to the perfection of creation. Sabbath, leading to the perfection of creation. The Evangelion portion we have heard is from the book of St. Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. St. Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. Once again, we are coming together to participate in the worship. For the Sabha, for the Marthoma Sabha, today is a very special, since the Maraman Convention has already started. Let us pray for the spiritual upliftment of the convention, and that the people who hear the word would diligently imbibe and express it in the practical lives. Because of the developed technologies, I think from today onwards we can hear the messages. Maybe probably by tomorrow I can send you the links of the messages which we can hear of the Maraman Convention. The book of Mark is the first gospel and the shortest gospel. The gospel has presented the person, work, and teachings of Jesus. John Mark, the author, was not one of the 12 disciples, but he accompanied Paul to his first missionary journey that we see in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Sabbath is first mentioned in the Genesis creation narrative, where the seventh day is set aside as a day of rest and made holy by God. Observation and remembrance of Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Most people who observe the Sabbath regard it as having been instituted as a perpetual covenant for the Israelites. As a sign of respecting two events, the day during which God rested after having completed creation in 6 days, and the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt. The first point is Jesus fulfilling the law. Sabbath was day holy unto Lord. In all four Gospels, we observe that the Sabbath was one of the main areas of the conflict between Jesus and Jews. We may raise the question, why did these controversies take place? What were they about? Why did the gospel writers record them for the institution of the church? The issue was not whether the Sabbath should be kept or not. Jesus himself answered, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, "Do not suppose that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Then what was the issue? The question was not should the Sabbath be kept. Rather, it was how should the Sabbath be kept. The Pharisees insisted that it be kept according to the oral rules that the rabbis had developed down through the years. Jesus did not reject the institution of Sabbath as such, but only the tradition of the elders regarding Sabbath keeping. He refused to abide by the man-made rules for Sabbath observances, by which the Sabbath had become a burden instead of a blessing. It seems that Jesus deliberately challenged these oral traditions. He wanted to make it a day of spiritual freedom and joy by fulfilling the law as God intended it to be. When we come together for worship, we must also evaluate
whether we are worshiping in a way that pleases God or in a way that makes us comfortable. The second point is Jesus reinterpreting the law. Jesus reinterpreting the law. The first Sabbath conflict that is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, in Matthew chapter 12 verses 1 to 8, Mark chapter 2 verses 23 to 28, and Luke chapter 6 verse 1 to 5, concerned the disciples' act in plucking wheat on the sacred day. Jesus and his disciples were going through some grain fields on a Sabbath. The disciples were hungry and they plucked some herds of wheat after rubbing them in their hands, ate the grain. The Pharisees accused them of an unlawful act. Plucking heads of grain from someone's field was not the problem, because Deuteronomy 23:25 says, if you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the herds with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. The Pharisees, however, called it unlawful because they were engaged in work on Sabbath. They said that plucking the wheat and rubbing it in their hands are equal to reaping and threshing and so on. So it was considered as a farmer's work, and work should not be done on the Sabbath. On the contrary, the priests actually worked harder on the Sabbath than on any other day of the week. But their work was not sinful because it was in the service of God and sacred, not secular. Jesus, however, declared that they were guiltless in satisfying their hunger by giving the example of David. That is what we read here in verse 25. Jesus said that David was the anointed of the Lord. So if it was right for the anointed David and his hungry companions to eat the holy bread belonging to the priest, how much more could the hungry disciples of the Son of David be justified in satisfying their hunger on the Sabbath, in opposition to the scribal rules? Jesus reinterprets the Sabbath as God intended it. Jesus referred to prophet Hosea. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Matthew chapter 12 verse 7. So our worship will not be meaningful without love and mercy and goodness. Thirdly, Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath. Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath. Sabbath was to be a day when people did not do any secular work, but devoted the day to worship and to the service of God. But it was never God's intention that the Sabbath be made a day of useless inactivity. Jesus had come to establish the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 2 verse 27, Jesus points out that the Sabbath was not an end in itself. The Sabbath was made for people and not people for the Sabbath. The Pharisees treated the day as though people were created to serve the Sabbath. Jesus affirms that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Our focus during worship should also be the same. We must remember that we are gathering to worship the Lord and that he is the one who should be glorified. Our worship should be in truth and spirit, wherein God and his kingdom values are upheld, instead of satisfying our other interest. Worship which God accepts is one which is upholding his value of love, faith, mercy, and goodness, and upholding Jesus as the Lord. May God bless us all. Now, Matthew George will pray.